All right, verse 12. The sixth angel poured out his bowl in the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings of the east. Then I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are spirits of demons. There's no trying to, I don't know why they look like frogs, but I know they're demons. Performing miraculous signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for battle on the great day of God Almighty. Then we have this very intense verse, which is also leads us into the third blessing. Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that he may not go naked and shamefully exposed. Just a quick comment about this sixth bowl, the drying up of the Euphrates River. It is common knowledge. Euphrates River flows to Iraq. It has its origin up in the Syria area. There is a series of dams there. At any time they want to dry up the Euphrates River, it is common knowledge. It can be done. Okay? This is no longer speculation. We're not sitting, this isn't 1898, it's 1998. We know more than they did 100 years ago. That which seems impossible to them is no problem for us. The third blessing, blessed are they who stay awake. But before he says that, he makes this comment, behold, I come like a thief. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I just have to make a comment about this phrase, because unfortunately it seems that there are two phrases that the scripture, that the church in general has permitted herself to know about the second coming. In fact, these two phrases seem to be the only thing many people in the church want to know about the second coming. He will come like a thief in the night, and no man knoweth the day or the hour. I remember growing up, and this is not to say anything bad about my father. My dad was the pastor of our church. He would be the first. He would stand right here and tell you the same thing, that we were not a church that talked about the second coming beyond this type of description. Now I want you to see another place where the Apostle Paul uses this same description in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll begin in verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. And that's where we stop. And we never finish the verse. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. What is darkness? Ignorance. So that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you believe it? Paul says the thief in the night scenario has nothing to do with you. How come no one ever told me that? How come I was kept at bay from searching out the truth about the second coming with a phrase that says the exact opposite? He will come like a thief in the night for those who are asleep. For those who want to say, well, no man knows the day or the hour. He's coming like a thief. Nothing I can do. Just, don't get upset about it. Don't, people that get into this, they always go over the edge. Folks, I'm not over the edge. I get up every morning. I have to take a shower. I have to feed my, well, you know that. I go about my daily routine just like you. I do the things that God has called me to do that day. I take care of business, but I keep it in mind. And I understand the hour in which I live. There's an interesting context to where this thief in the night scenario actually comes from. Lo and behold, It's the altar. You see, the high priest, at the end of the day of the altar service, would go home. But there was an attendant, one of the Levites, who was in charge of keeping the altar burning. It was never supposed to go out. And so throughout the night, that priest was supposed to be there to keep the fires burning. There's a song in there somewhere. And the high priest was the first one to arrive at the temple and the last one to leave. And he would sneak into the temple courtyard like a thief to see if the attendant had kept the fire burning. And he had a real interesting surprise for the attendant if he hadn't. He would go and relight the altar, and then he would take fire from the altar, and he would sneak up to the person who had fallen asleep, and he would light the hem of his garment on fire. How many times do you suppose that attendant fell asleep after that? Be awake, lest you have to run naked and shamefully exposed into the darkness. When Jesus comes back, he's going to check the fire in us. Are we asleep? Are we tending the altar within us? There is one. Remember that little verse in Romans? Living sacrifices? He's coming like a thief in the night, folks, for those who are asleep.